In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Just a little explanation that might help you to follow me is that I'm preaching today mainly on two things: Psalm 46, which is printed there in your bulletin by the sermon, and A Mighty Fortress. So if you weren't aware, what Luther did was he took Psalm 46 and wrote the hymn A Mighty Fortress from Psalm 46. So this is going to be what we focus on today, and especially that part of Psalm 46 where it says, God is our fortress. Okay. Most of you, I'm sure, probably all of you, have heard of the Black Death. It was from 1347 to 1350 was when it spread across Europe. And sometimes we call it the bubonic plague, or the Black Plague or whatever. But it was bad. You know, it took about a quarter of the population in Europe in just 4 years. And what it was a plague, you know, what would happen was rats usually, or some other rodents, but usually rats would get infected, and then fleas would carry it from the rats to the people. They'd bite the people and carry this plague. And it would just spread. Once it came to a place, it would just spread like crazy. Of course, they had a lot more rats then, okay, than we don't see a lot of rats running around today, but it was a different place back then. Now, once a person would get infected with it, a few different things could happen. Normally, they'd get a fever, and then a lot of times they would kind of go delirious. They wouldn't make any sense, kind of be out of their mind. And then the last sign that you knew was they probably weren't going to overcome it. They would get these large boils, these large sores on their body. And then usually within 3 or 4 days, then they would die. It was very, you know, a very serious thing and moved very quickly. Well, for the most part, you know, it died off after those 4 years. But the sad thing is, for the next 200 years, it would randomly, well, not randomly, but it would just occasionally pop up in different places in Europe. So in 1527 in Wittenberg, Germany, that's where Martin Luther was living, where he lived most of his life. 1527 in August, all of a sudden a case of the plague breaks out. Now, if they've had 200 years of this, you can imagine what happens when somebody hears in town that a case of the plague broke out. What does everybody do? They take off. I mean, they flee, which is probably what all of us would have done too. So all of a sudden, Wittenberg became like a ghost town. And in just the first 17 days, there were 18 deaths. I mean, that's how quick this thing operated. Now, thankfully, it really died down after that, but it kind of creates this pandemonium. So the university where Luther was a professor, it even moved to another location for the school year. But Luther and a number of other pastors and a number of other people that worked for the city, they all stayed. They all stayed there to take care of those who were sick. And so I want to just tell you a little bit about what he went through in those few months. Luther wrote to somebody that the mayor's wife died, quote, almost in my arms, he said. I don't know what that means. Maybe he was right by her bedside, but he was with the mayor's wife when she died. In his house, they were taking care of a number of people who had the plague, which, of course, you can imagine when you have them in your house, there's this constant fear it's going to just spread. His own son, which was their only child at this time, Hans, he got sick for 3 days with a fever. So imagine what they're going through. Praise the Lord, he overcame it and came out of it, which happened. One of Luther's friends, had a wife who was pregnant at that time. She lost her baby first and then lost her own life. So imagine what his friend was going through. It was really rough. Now, for Luther himself, his wife was pregnant right then. Katie was pregnant with their second child, Elizabeth. And it was really rough because they thought they made it through. You know, his wife never got sick. Baby's fine. So baby's born in December when the plague has already kind of died down. But she's born sick. And they think it's because of the plague. So she only lives about 8 months in 1528 before she goes to be with Jesus. So I hope I've given you kind of a picture of what those few months was like. And it was just rough. You had all these people dying from the plague. Luther himself, as he wrote to people, he was talking about how depressed he was and in despair because of all these people he knew that were dying. Then his own daughter, you know, is born sick and eventually dies. It was really rough. Now, why am I telling all of this stuff? Because most people think it's right in that time that he wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God." We don't know for sure, but all the signs point to right in that time period is when he wrote that hymn. Now, that kind of changes our thinking a little bit. We tend to think of the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress," as this like battle hymn. You know, we always blare the music. A lot of times we'll have trumpet with it. You know, it's this big hymn of gusto, hymn of marching. "A mighty fortress is our God." And that's kind of how we think of Luther, too. We've kind of been trained to think of him as always this bold, brave man, you know, marching from one trial to the next. But he really wasn't. And this hymn really wasn't written as that kind of a hymn either. It was absolutely written as a hymn for comfort. So Luther and those around him, they would sing this when they needed comfort. Now, I only told you about this little snippet of his life, but you kind of know he had, during the rest of his life, it wasn't much better. Of course, the days when he was running scared for his life because the Pope and the Emperor were out to kill him, his days of sadness when he would learn that people were being killed because they were following his teachings. Imagine what that does to your conscience when you find out because of your teaching, other people are dying. That sent him into a lot of depression. His days of despair when people were writing all kinds of just horrible stuff against him. The lonely days he spent in Wartburg Castle when he had to hide there because, again, they were his life. He was a wanted man, so he had to hide out there. It was lonely. He was depressed. Now, this is kind of an odd one, but I tell you, because it's an important part of his life, he had a lot of health struggles. And one of the health struggles he just dealt with constantly was constipation. And it was horrible. And he'd write about how bad it was and how he'd go into these fits of depression just because of it. So even that, you know. And then the last one, which is the hardest one. Later on, they had another daughter, Magdalene, and she lived till 13 years old and then got sick. And Luther wrote about how she died in his very arms, and he went into this long period for months of just severe depression. So I'm just trying to tell you, no matter when Luther writes this hymn, you see, it's not about, yeah, here we go. It's about life is rough and we need comfort. We need a fortress. And that, of course, is our God, our fortress. Now, not too long into the Reformation, Luther saw that people needed hymns to sing. He loved music. Of course, we all love music. He wanted people to be able to sing about Jesus. So he writes letters to other pastors. He said, take a psalm and write a hymn from it. Well, not too many of them did it. But Luther did himself some of this. And so what he did, he took Psalm 46. He loved Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. All right, therefore, we won't be afraid though the whole earth gives way, though the mountains crash into the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains tremble for fear. So he takes this psalm that he loves so much and he writes the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress." Now you see in Psalm 46 what's being described. What's being described is all around us the world is falling apart. And Luther could identify with that. All around him, it seemed the world was falling apart, whether it was the plague or the troubles in the church or whatever. And we would say, well, our phrase would be, it's all going to hell, right? And that's what Psalm 46 is describing. It's all going to hell. The nations are raging. The kingdoms are tottering. But what? God is our refuge and strength. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Or the end of the psalm, "Be still and know that I am God." Or Psalm 46, "The waters are roaring and foaming, but there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God." That's the picture that you're supposed to get from Psalm 46. All around you, the world's in chaos, the world is going to hell, but here you are in your fortress, in your refuge, in the city of God. "Be still and know that I am God," he says. I thought I should ask you, what even is a fortress? Because we don't really, you know, how many fortresses do you see in America in the 21st century? Not too many, right? But in Germany, 500 years ago, did they have fortresses? Yeah, you've probably seen pictures. Some of you maybe even been over to Europe and seen some of these. And of course, in German, Ein fester Berg means a fortified castle. So if you've ever seen those big medieval castles, you know, they'd build them up on a hill because this was like your last resort. If the enemy is after you, you go up into this castle, you got the huge walls, the towers. And so that's what Luther was thinking of when he writes "A Mighty Fortress." Now, we don't really have those, but I did think it was interesting. Just a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, my family and I went to Jamestown, And some of you have probably been there. When the English came to Jamestown, what was the first thing they built? A fort. So, I mean, we do have a little bit of this in America. Of course, there it was, the Indians were killing them, right? So they built this fort, and it had, you know, the walls. It had not towers per se, but lookouts where they had the cannons and so forth. So we do have some kind of a concept of this, a fort, a fortress, a place where we're safe, a place to go when we're in trouble. And maybe you say, well, we don't need those anymore, right? We don't need a fortress, right? Why do I need protection from? There's no plague here in America, right? Nobody trying to kill me like Luther had. Well, I'm going to challenge you a little bit. When you sing A Mighty Fortress, next time we sing it again, really look at the words. What did Luther say we needed a fortress from? It wasn't from a plague. It wasn't from the Pope. It wasn't from anything like this. What do we need a fortress from? I'll read you again. A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us free from every need that hath us now overtaken. The old evil foe now means deadly woe. What do we need protection from? We need protection from the devil. And that's what Luther, he recognized that, and I don't think we recognize it enough. He was aware of Satan's tricks, and we aren't. We kind of think, well, he's no big deal, he can't hurt us, and that's why he so easily attacks us. So I want to give you some examples of this. Now, Luther wasn't fooled. He knew even behind the plague, he said the devil was at work. So let me, just two quick snippets from letters he wrote. He wrote during the plague was going on, he writes to these other people. So these are from two letters he wrote. One, he says, it is a comfort that we can confront Satan's fury. Satan's fury, he says, talking about the plague. We can confront Satan's fury with the word of God, which we have, and which saves souls, even if that one, the devil, should devour our bodies. That's interesting. He's blaming people dying on the devil. Or another letter he writes, I have never before seen such a marvel of satanic power. So greatly he is terrifying everybody. Indeed, he's glad that he can frighten men's hearts. And so, I am here alone with the deacons, but Christ is present too, that we may not be alone, and he will triumph in us over that old serpent, that murderer, that author of sin. That's interesting. There's a book that I read on Luther, and there's hundreds of biographies of Luther. But one that I wrote is really interesting. The title of it is Luther, A Man Between God and the Devil. And it really makes a compelling point that what Luther set out to do was nothing like we think. Like, oh, he was going to change the world. He's going to fix the church, do all these things. What he saw himself doing is just fighting the age-old battle against the devil. Because what does the devil always want to do? He wants to frighten you, terrify you, and take Jesus away from you. And that's what Luther said we have to fight against, and that's why we need our mighty fortress. What is the devil doing today? What would you say? Where is the devil attacking? All over the place. He's destroying relationships, marriages, families, right? How many marriages and families have been broken up today? That's the work of the devil. He's killing people's identities. I think this is a big one right now. All this confusion over gender. You know, who am I really? That's the work of the devil. He's confusing us so that we don't even know who we are anymore. Or he's killing babies by the millions through abortion. Or he's destroying our bodies with cancer and stroke and drug addictions. And he's raising up wars all over the world, dictators and radical Islam, all these things that want to destroy Christ. He is working, right? That old evil foe, he means deadly woe, Luther says. So what will we do? Will we go against him with might of ours? No, Luther says in the hymn, forget about it. Soon were our loss effected, he says. But for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. Jesus, the Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, our fortress. So whenever the devil is attacking us, as he attacked Luther over and over, we have a fortress. God, our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble, the one who stands with us, the Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ, and says, devil, you can't touch this one. You can't touch this. This is my son. This is my daughter. Jesus stands and says, I've paid her sins, his sins. I've died her death, his death. And what he does is he surrounds us, this mighty fortress, and says, no, you're not going to touch this one. And finally, then, I think People today, they make the Reformation into all kinds of different things. And, you know, it happened for a lot of different reasons. It's true, there was a lot of corruption all over the place. But what we don't want to forget, that for Luther, there was not a lot of reasons. There was one reason. The church needed Jesus. The church had lost that fortress, that refuge and strength, and he wanted people to have that back again. He wanted them to have Jesus, their refuge and strength. And it's interesting, after Luther, a lot of people tried to piggyback on him and kind of get rid of everything in the church. You know, they wanted to get rid of infant baptism, get rid of the communion and body of blood of Christ in the communion, get rid of the liturgy, get rid of music. But Luther didn't go. He knew this was not all evil. There was only one thing that the church had to recover, and that was simply Jesus. And that's why he writes about and sings about our mighty fortress. And inside that fortress, we are strengthened with God's word, his sacraments, the body and blood of Jesus. We need all of that. And that's what Luther cared about till his dying day. He cared about that comfort of Jesus. So I'll tell you again, the last verse of his hymn. And take they our life, goods, fame, child and wife. Though these all be gone, the victory has been won. Or as Psalm 46 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.